Good morning, everybody. Can we quickly pray? Can I ask you to stand with me, please? Our Father God, we come before you this morning. Thank you, Lord, that our hearts are in unity. Thank you, Lord, that we are in one accord. I pray, Father, that in this morning that you will use your servant as the word is brought out. It is not about us. It is about you. So right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, we come against every hindrance. We rebuke and we bind it in the name of Jesus. Father, we stand against the work of the enemy. Holy Spirit, manifest yourself in the message and pierce our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I ask you to turn or open your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke chapter 9? Luke chapter 9, and I'm going to be reading from verses 23 down to 26. And then also, if you can open up to Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to read from verses 1 to 2. Luke chapter 9, verses 23. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the grace that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right-hand throne of God." It says there, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. I want to ask you today, what is Jesus worth to you? What is Jesus worth to you? There was a Zambian runner who ran the marathon race in Mexico. His name was John Stephen Aquare. As he ran his race, and as he went in, he was doing quite well, but he hit a bit of a problem. He had trained in Zambia, and the humidity and the weather was a problem in Mexico. And he suffered a bit. And as the race went on, there was jockeying for position. And he cramped, and he was bumped. When he fell, he dislocated his shoulder, hurt his knee. What did he do? He got up, he hobbled, and he began to make his way. Now, at the stadium, there were people that had gone already. There were just a handful of people waiting. And when they saw him, they began to cheer. And the news reporters that were with the winners came out and said, "You were hit. You were down. You were injured. It's understandable. Why did you still go on?" And his response was this: "My country did not send me thousands of miles to start a race. They sent me thousands of miles to finish the race." Church, we are here to finish a race. There is a race that we are running. In fact, you will all know that there's a song that says, "There is a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. God, give me power every hour to be true." Now, like John Stephen, maybe we've been running our races in life, the race called life. And you know that race called life hits you down. As you journey, things hit you down, people hit you down. It gives us blows. We may have fallen, we injured, dislocated something in our lives. And maybe we are feeling the pain. And maybe our world all around us is falling. But go back to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Run with endurance and keep looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Don't ever think that we're going to do this on our own. You can never, ever, ever do it on your own. It is only the Lord that can help you. So keep your eyes focused on him. In the book of Matthew chapter 14, we see that there was a storm and Peter was in the boat and the waters were rough. And here came Jesus and he said, "Lord, if it is you, let me step out and walk on the water with you." And Jesus said, "Come." And here we see Peter stepped off and he started walking. But then he started seeing his surroundings and the storm around him. He took his eyes off the master, and we see in the Bible he began to sink. Church, we cannot afford to take our eyes off Jesus. We will fail. Now, the church is a beautiful place. Now, let me pick on this church for because we're here. You walk in, you're greeted. We have beautiful chairs. It's soft. You can sit. Comfortable. In fact, the red carpet is here. You can walk on it. Heaters. An excellent sound system. We've got everything. In fact, I can take it one step further and say, even this microphone is cordless. So I can hold on for dear life onto this pulpit. It's here. Everything is here. But it goes beyond it. This is only a building. And these are just things. Who is the church? The church of Jesus Christ is made of flesh and bone, of believers. Who is the church? We are the church. You are the church. Say it with me, we are the church. We are the church. You know, no matter how weak you may think you are, "Oh, I've got this problem and I'm struggling here in life." No matter how strong you may think you are the church. The church of Jesus Christ. The church of Jesus Christ leaps beyond our gender, our race, our cultural differences. You know, we are so good, humans, we are so good at labeling things. We love to label things. In fact, we started even labeling the church. We started calling the church the colored church, the white church, the Indian church. What are the churches? The Pentecostal church, the Presbyterian church. No, 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 no. There is one church, and that is the church of Jesus Christ. It is the blood-washed, bought church. That is who Jesus Christ died for. The people. We make up the church. There's a hymn that I want to share with you, and it best describes the church. It best describes the church. It says, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. She is from every nation, yet one in all the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endured. That kind of sums the whole thing up, doesn't it? If I had to ask you this question, I would, well, you don't have to answer it, but you can think about it. What is the most dangerous thing that Jesus ever did? What is the most dangerous thing Jesus ever did? Was the most dangerous thing when he walked on water? Or was it casting out demons? Or maybe turning over the tables in the temple? Or perhaps raising Jairus' daughter from the dead? What was the most dangerous thing Jesus ever did? The most dangerous thing Jesus ever did was when he made you and I his ambassadors in this world. I want to say that again. The most dangerous thing Jesus ever did is when he made you and I his ambassadors in this world. Again, I ask you, what is Jesus worth to you? What are we doing with what God has given us? God has blessed us. God has blessed us. Church, you may only have a loaf of bread at home, but you are blessed. You are blessed. There's people that don't even have that. What are we doing? Now, the church, when I say the church, I'm speaking to the individual. Church, what are we doing with what God has given us? How are we using our influence, our leadership, our resources in the community that is around us? Youth, don't feel bad. Don't let people do the right thing. Do the right thing. The Bible says don't ever let people look down on you because you are young. To the older people who feel, you know what, I've done everything there is in the ministry, let me tell you something and let's put this at ease. Abraham was still climbing mountains at the age of 90. There's nothing wrong with us. There is nothing wrong with us. And don't say, church, I am too weak, I can't do it, I've got this problem. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Church, in unity, in one accord, we can go back into our community, go back into the camps of the enemy, and take back what the enemy has stolen from us. Our schools are in a mess. Even our churches are starting to become in a mess. We need to go back and take back what the enemy has stolen from us. It can be done. It's time to get real. Around us, people are dying. You can walk up the road over here. People are dying. They don't have Jesus. These people are dying and going to hell. What are we doing? About 2 to 3 years ago, in our home cells, we had a series that we were running with. It was with Reinhard Bonnke. It was called Full Flame. If you guys remember the first show, it was Lost at Sea. So basically the story was about a ship that was going down. But the punchline to the story was this. the church of Jesus Christ is not a pleasure boat. It is a lifeboat for the lost. And all hands are needed on deck. Not just the minister's hands, not just the leader's hands, the weak hand, the strong hand, the small hand, the big hand. All hands are needed on deck. Our war is not against flesh and blood. It was never against flesh and blood. But it's against the principalities and the rulers of the air. Start praying. Church, start praying. We need to start praying. Enough with, okay, Lord, bless my mother, bless my father, bless my granny. Amen. Oh, bless the food while we're at it. Enough, enough, enough. There's a reason why Ephesians says, put on the whole armor of God. What is it? The helmet of salvation. Is it for our display cabinet? Church, we need to get real. Because while we are sleeping, the enemy is at large. It's time that we go back into the enemy's camps and take back what he has stolen from us. If you read in the book of Samuel, it speaks of David and Goliath. Kirsty, come stand up here for me, please. It speaks of David and Goliath. And that's perfect, thank you. It speaks of David and Goliath. Before David came into the picture, the armies of Israel were horrified. They were horrified to stand against Goliath. Can you pick up a strand of your hair, please? Just one strand. One strand. Can the guys from the back, can you all see this? Uncle Trevor, can you see it? But if you read in Judges, thank you. They say the army of Israel was skilled people. They could take a stone, and from 700 feet, they will throw that stone at a strand of hair, and they will not miss. But the same people were horrified to stand against Goliath. God had to use one man, one boy, to go and stand before Goliath and kill him. You know, you may think that you are small. You are not. You are not. You know why? Because greater is he that is in you than him that is in the world. You may think that the situation is out of control. God is with you. You can overcome. You can fight. We can take back what is ours. With great victory must come great sacrifice. Now, 2 years ago, everybody knows me here, I'm not a very athletic person. And I'm not fond of exercise, end of story. And the one thing I do like is to put my hand in my pocket and walk more and see more. Take a stroll and that's me. So I have a very good friend who enjoys walking and he invited me for a walk. It was called the 702 Walk the Talk. I said, okay, let's do it. And he registered us for a 20-kilometer walk. And I was looking forward to this walk. In fact, I started planning. I started 2 months before the time. I started taking my hands out of my pocket and I was walking and I was giving the stick, you know. And I'd walk up the road, around the corner, down, back, and it was 5 kilometers. I told myself, whoa, I've done a great job. You know, 20 Ks is nothing. Yo, I'm going to do this. I can do this, you know. I said, I don't know what the big fuss is about. And I'd walk this route on a daily basis. How stupid. I never measured the distance. It was probably only 2.5 kilometers. And I was taking a drive one day from the house to Wilder Park, somewhere there. And I looked at this distance and I said, but this is only 18 to 19 Ks. This can't be right. This thing is broken. So I get to the walk. Yeah, it's freezing, short pants and t-shirt, and I'm ready for this thing. I can do it. And we start. You know what? I was going. I was moving. I was flying. You know what? I was beating the thin people. And here we got into Braamfontein. And then I turned to my friend and said, Richard, come on. We're almost there, right? He says, we haven't even done 7Ks yet. And I said, okay, that's fine. But now they take a bend, and the whole game changes. The roads are like this. And then you get to a certain part, the roads are like that. You know what? I can tell you this much now. I started cramping because now I started getting sick. And, you know, at every spot you'll find a group of ambulances that's just there, parked out, waiting for you. And he said, and listen, the thought crossed my mind, just faint. They'll take you into the ambulance and they're going to take you all the way back there. Man, you know what? The pain. You know, when I got 8 Ks away from the place, I swear to you, I couldn't pick up my feet. You know, and I pushed and I pushed and I pushed. And he said, you sure you don't want to give up now? I said, no, I can't. I'm almost there. I walked 15 Ks. I've got another 5 to go. I'll do it. I dragged my feet. I couldn't pick my feet up. But I came to that point where I saw that sign that said, finished. I was dragging my feet because the pain had moved from my legs into my butt, into my stomach, the works. And the lady at the finish line said, sir, congratulations, you've done the 20 Ks. And she gave me a medal. Church, for great victory must come great sacrifice. Before I got the medal, trust me, I knew all about pain. Everywhere in your body, I knew about pain. In life, don't stop. Crawl if you've got to crawl, but don't stop. Keep your eyes on to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Church, we need to come to a point where we need to start following Jesus for who he really is and not who we have created him to be. Did you get that? We need to start following Jesus for who he is and not who we have created him to be. There is no time to play games anymore while people are suffering and dying without Christ. We need to put aside the priorities and pursuits of this world and work on spreading the gospel and the glory of Jesus Christ. Church, enough. Settling for this casual, comfortable, complacent Christianity lifestyle, no longer an option. It's time we start putting our hands to the plow. We should not look back. We need to take Jesus at his word and sacrifice everything. We need to declare Jesus to the world, no matter what it costs, because we believe that he is worth it. Church, is Jesus worth it in your life? Is Jesus worth it in your life? You know when you watch those war movies and all these guys come out with these big guns, doof, 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 and then they kill majority of the other side and there's about 10 people left over and now they see that there's thousands against them and then what's the next best thing they do? Whoa, we surrender. I surrender. Ever wondered what that means? Surrender means to give up your rights. When was the last we surrendered to Jesus? Lord, I just don't surrender. I'm not going to surrender this part or that part. We need to surrender everything. I need to give up my rights to my own life. I need to give up my rights to my finances, my family, my work, my everything. Lord, to you I surrender. We've been running for years. Some 40 years, some 5 years, some 3 years. But we've been running. And somewhere along the line, there's been hurt and whatever it is. Today I want to pray. Today I want to pray that the Holy Spirit will run this race with us. I want to pray, church, don't ever think that we can do it alone. We can never accomplish anything without the Holy Spirit. If the Lord is not with us here, forget it. Today, I want to call men and women that are serious, that have said, you know what, enough is enough. I'm tired of living an ordinary life. I need the Holy Spirit. I need to commit today to the Holy Spirit. I cannot do this alone. I need to surrender to the Lord. Think about this. If that is you today that's tired, you're just tired, and you need the Lord to help, church, come forward. We're going to pray together. Together we are going to pray. I'm not just calling you if you are tired. I'm calling for men and women who acknowledge that on Christ, the solid rock, that we stand. Everything else is all sinking. It's sand. It's sinking sand. I want to call men and women up here today to pray with me. Let's pray. Men and women that will say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Church, if that is you, come forward and let's pray today. With every eye closed and head bowed, come forward, please. Our Father God, we come before you today. Lord, we have made that step where we come before you. As believers, today we stand in agreement and say, enough is enough. Father, we are giving up our lackadaisy lives. Father, we want more. Lord, we seek for you. Father, we want to see change in our community. In the name of Jesus. Father, today we go into the camps, my God, and in faith, and we pray, we stand against the works of the devil. Lord, we pray that you will give us victory, we ask in Jesus' name. But as for us, O Father, we raise our hands to you, and we say, Lord, use us. Lord, use us. Make us usable, Father. Strengthen the weak, Lord. Humble us, Lord, before yourself, O God. We ask this in Jesus' name. We commit ourselves before you. And we say, Lord, I will take that stand. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And to you, O Father, we give all the praise, glory, and honor. Amen.